He was a computer expert, and he was working on my computer, and flash. You ever see those little pop-up flashes? It goes away. And we're trying to get my computer to work. He went home and he read about 350 pages to find out why there was a flash. That's the way he was wired. But this begs the question about, well, if you love something a lot, if something's really, really valuable to you, you're going to want to know how. You want to know why. You want to know everything about it. And that's why we are here this morning. We love the Lord our God, and we love him, and he loves us, and he's precious to us. So doesn't it make sense that we want to know more and more about him? Dwayne, a man from a former congregation of mine, says, why isn't everybody in church? When they hear about who God is and what he's done for us, he says, I can't imagine why they would ever stay away. Jesus' last command, and that was our first message in our discipleship series, he's going up into heaven, leaving. He's done his work. He's going to go sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he says, before I leave, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations. And so we know that it's important to go and make disciples. In fact, we also found out that being a disciple and making a disciple are connected. They go hand in hand. It's not okay just to be a disciple and sit back and that's it. He's called us to go and make a disciple. Now, you should be able to follow along in the outline that is in the bulletin. I have pens and pencils and writing utensils back there. And I'm one of these nutty pastors that say, hey, I want people to fill it in. Does anyone need one? We got someone back there that could bring you a pen or a pencil. You are all prepared? Oh, we need a couple right up here. Thanks. Right now I'm going through a review and you don't have to write anything. So this is pretty good so far. After we talked about going and making disciples, we realized one of the first attributes of a disciple is what's called total submission. Christ first in all things. It's really, really important. Because if you're living this life of a disciple and you're out into the world and someone sees you put something else in front of Christ, well, what kind of discipleship is that showing? What kind of witness is that? And so we realize that being submitted to God and his word in all things is very, very important. Probably lays the foundation for the discipleship work that we're called to do. And the next one we talked about was piety. And I touched on that earlier. It's, does piety actually have a place in today's world? I mean, if you sound like you're going to be pious and pure, people think you're stuck up being a holy, holy person. But we found out, no. Piety is really important. Living a holy life is important. I'm out there living one way of life. I come into church, I live another way of life. And people say, well, I don't want to be a Christian because if that's who they are, well, that's just phony. That's hypocritical. And of course, we know that a pious life is what we need because when we talk about sin, we realize it has an effect in our lives. It hinders our walk as a disciple and we need to flee from it. Which brings us to today. Today is about studying and applying Scripture in our lives. Now, the law of God tells us in his Bible that the law is written on your hearts. And that's an amazing thing. In your heart, on your heart, deep down, we know right from wrong. It is universal in all societies on every continent of our world. But in order to lead a pure life, we have to know God's law. And the only way to truly know God's law is actually to be in the Word of God. Because that's going to help us to recognize not only right and wrong, but God's teachings. Remember, we started out with, we love God. God loves us. I want to know more about this God. You know the little saying, if I knew then what I know now. You ever say that? Oh, man, life would be better. We would be such in a better situation. It'd be lovelier, it'd be easier, we'd be richer, right? I mean, we have all these, if I knew then what I know now. Well, here is something that you've heard before. You've heard about studying, and we heard about it's important to study the Bible. And as that introductory in your bulletin said, boy, we think we know a lot, and most of us would say, I would like to know more. I want a closer walk with the Lord. And so for a lot of reasons, we're going to look at just some of them, why we're studying the Bible, why it's going to become a priority in our life as we walk. And the very first one, here's your first line to fill in, is it will help you or enable you to grow spiritually. Growing spiritually is directly proportionate to our intake of the Word of God. Okay? They all coincide. We need to take time out and learn about the Lord and learn about His Word. And when we do that, we will grow spiritually. Now, the Bible talks about that in the book of Hebrews. It talks about what is food for the Christian. And he likens it to things like our lives today. In fact, he says the new converts in Christianity, he says he calls it milk. The elementary truths. You get your calcium, builds good, strong bones, right? You get milk. And he says, you know, that's what we need at the beginning. We need, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We need to hear that God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is three in one. It's Trinity. He's one God, three persons. It's hard to understand, but that's kind of a spiritual truth. It's elementary. Jesus died for me. He loves me, right? You got all these things, and that's what new converts need to see and hear. All right. Now, the thing is, when you are a disciple of Christ, which I think many of you are, you've been in the Word, you know the Lord, you've walked that, you need to be taking what he calls meat. Protein. Building those muscles. The deeper truths. And it's important that we realize that wherever we are in life, this is what we need to learn. We want to grow. And if we're going to move on, we need to continue to move on and to grow. Solid food for the mature, milk for the others. Now, if you're like me, you find that some of these new truths, the simple ones, sometimes are very profound. I mean, when I think of the love of Jesus, when I think about the infinity of his love for me, it just blows my mind. We've talked about eternity here in the past. We know that we have a beginning and we will live forever. But it's really hard for my brain to wrap around that God is forever backwards too. That's eternity. And you know, that's, you want to call it, it's elementary, it's simple, but it's also very complex. So sometimes there's things that have more depth. Now, the more mature in your faith, the more meat you have, the more in-depth study. And you say, well, why would we want to do that? You know, the thing is, I think what's really kind of frustrating for me is that people who are mature in faith, they don't go to Bible study. And I scratch my head and I don't quite understand that. It's almost as if they think they know enough just to get by, or they're not hungry for the Word. And I pray the Holy Spirit's going to wake people up, because I think they need to grow. Someone once said, if you're not moving forward, you think you're holding still, you're actually moving backwards, because the world continues to move beyond you. And we want to avoid stagnation. We don't want to be stagnant in our faith. Now, some of you may know this book. It's called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and it is a book of words. Greek, Hebrew. It's the Bible geek in me that got it when I was graduating from seminary from my uncle. And he gave me this book, and in the front part of it, he did this cut and paste thing, and he put this at the front of the page. You can't really read it. What it says is, study. He just did that. He had a lot of fun with that. And he says, trust me, you're never done. God bless you in your study. And so I see that. It makes me smile and it makes me realize I need to continue to grow in my faith and in my understanding. Because once I stagnate, I stop producing the fruit for the kingdom. Anybody here take multivitamins? Oh, good for you. Good for you. That's good. My mama used to say, and still does today, and experts agree that you need to constantly be consistent in your multivitamins. That if you just do this one-shot wonder, it's not like an energy pill that's going to send you flying and you're going to have strong everything. It's the consistent intake so that your body absorbs those things that it needs and builds what it's supposed to build. So we're going to talk now about the different ways that we can build and grow. First one is here. The Word of God, guides and gives direction to our lives. Now, you could talk to a friend, talk to the pastor, a teacher, brother, sister, mother, father, and there are good, those are good resources to talk to people. And they may give you some great advice as you're seeking God's guidance. You can go to the Lord in prayer. And in a week, we're going to be talking about prayer. And that's going to be emphasis. That's what disciples do as well. But study. God's left us with a Bible. His Word of God is all there. Powerful. Strong. Does stuff. Someone says the Word of God is a verb. It's acting. It's moving. Sharper than ever any double-edged sword. It cuts to the marrow when it needs to. And it soothes and it's a solve when it needs to be that as well. It gives us direction. B-I-B-L-E. Someone called it Basic Instructions for Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. And that's what it is. Making people wise under salvation. As I began this series weeks ago in prayer, I am still praying that God sets a fire in each and every one of your hearts. Those of you, maybe you're hearing it for the first time today, that God sets a fire in your heart to go and be bold and make disciples. Because disciples who are following God's word, it's giving them direction, well, they're going to be effective in evangelism, which is really what we're out to do. When we get into heaven, when you get into heaven, someone's going to say, I'm here because of him. I'm here because of her. I mean, what a wonderful, powerful statement that is. And then, of course, we would say up there, if we were one of those receiving those accolades, we're here because of Jesus. It makes us an effective witness. In fact, one of the things we need to do is hear God's word. It not only equips us, but it is something that we need to constantly hear so that we're able to tell others about it. That one person not that long ago was saying, you know, I'm really enjoying this discipleship series. And I'm just like, well, thank you. That's a warm fuzzy. I appreciate that. And they said, well, you don't understand. It's kind of the teacher in me. See, when you say things and you put things up there, not only are you saying it, so I'm hearing it, but I also see it. And then you've got me writing in this on this outline, so I'm also writing it. So I'm hearing it, and I'm seeing it, and I'm writing it, and I'm learning it. And that's what we need to do when it comes to studying God's word, so that when someone comes to you and says, well, why in the world should I believe any of this? Well, you've been in the word. What are you going to say? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes will have eternal life. Or you might say, well, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Why do I have to be good all the time if Jesus died for my sins? How about that one? Well, something might pop up like, the wrath of God is being revealed in heaven against all godlessness. Or you might say the acts of the sinful nature, sexual immorality, idolatry, discord, all of those things. I'm warning you about those, the Bible says in Galatians 5, because those who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe that's what they need to hear. But being in God's word, that's what you're going to say. You see, and you might change the words a little so that they can hear what you're saying. But it's important to be able to do that. What else can you do? Well, there are Bible studies out there. There are radio programs. And then you say, well, what Bible studies do I listen to? Because I've listened to one guy and he seems way out there, right? You just don't even want to go along with it. So what do you do? Well, ask friends. Ask your pastor. Ask teachers. Ask those who you have some respect for as far as their relationship with Jesus Christ. And say, hey, who's this Max Lucado guy? Or who's Philip Yancey? Or who's this Beth Moore? Kay Arthur? Billy Graham? You know, all these names you've heard. Are they all okay? Talk about it. Find out. See if that topic is what you want to learn about. In Romans 7 or 10:17, that's the passage that's up there, and this is what I want to go. Consequently, it says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That means you go to church on Sundays. That means when there's midweek services. It means when there's Bible studies. That means when there's a radio program. All this kind of things. You're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, that's kind of overload, Pastor. Right? I mean, I'm Jesus out. Well, I don't know really what to say about that. You take a break. I mean, you go to gardening, go driving, go hiking, fishing, golfing, whatever. You go different places? Now, I'm thrilled. We have people in our congregation right now in this place who are escaping the heat. And they're in church. Thank you very much. That's awesome. Because you realize that there's a priority for hearing God's word. As you're driving around, I don't suggest when you're driving around, but maybe when you stop, you jot down references. Things that you've been told or things that you've learned. Because they'll help you understand things. The next thing is to read and study it. I know there's a lot of reading going on in college. We were talking about that yesterday. All the reading that has to be done for all of these classes. And now the pastor's saying, one more thing to read. Well, reading is good. And you could press, there's even apps that will voice the message, read the Bible to you, which is pretty neat too. But there's a difference between reading and studying. Okay? That's why it has both there for Deuteronomy. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write it says, for himself on a scroll, a copy of his law, take it from the priest. It goes on to say, so not just read it, but comprehend it. Try to study this thing. The Bible's good. But if you're just reading it through, there's other ways to do it. Here's some suggestions. And I know there's little dots down there that I'm not going to fill in all of them, so you could put them in there. Here's one suggestion. If you have a study Bible, read the introductions. They're actually pretty good. It tells you who they're being written to, who's writing them, what the book or letter's about, and then move on. If you want to read the rest of the letter, go right ahead. But the next time you read 1 Corinthians, you know it was Paul who wrote the people of Corinth, and you know the church situation and what was going on there. So now when you're reading 1 Corinthians and you're reading the love passage, you know, and you're going, oh, I know why he wrote that to them. So sometimes that's a really neat tool to study it. The other one is, and I saw someone do this recently, they not only read the Bible in a year, but they were reading the top, and then they read all the notes at the bottom. It took a lot longer. And, you know, some of that's going to stick. So that's pretty good. The concordance is a great tool. This book is a great tool. And what's wonderful is that computers in today's world, man, you have that at your fingertips too. But some people like books because it slows you down enough to look at them. And this is the dreaded one. I know it's a hard sell. It's called memorizing. Memorization, we'd say, boy, man, I'm too old to memorize anything. When I went back to seminary, we had Greek and Hebrew. We had to memorize all the words. And, oh, it was just so painful. I said, I don't remember like I used to. Well, memorization is one of the best ways to know this stuff. It says God desires to saturate your heart with his word. And Deuteronomy 6:6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. 6:6, commandments, hearts. There you go. Or another one, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Let the word of God dwell in you richly to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And there's other little devices, pneumatic devices, like the 3:16s. If you just write that down, 3:16s, and check out different letters from 3:16. You know John 3:16, but this was Colossians 3:16 and 1 Thessalonians 3:16. I mean, it's like you'd be amazed at some of these little passages. So that kind of gets rid of the little obstacle of where it's found. Memorizing scripture is the number one way to get to know what God is saying in his Bible because the words are always in your heart. So when people ask questions, this is how you respond. Well, God loves you. Or we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah, we're to go to church because God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, set apart. And here you are rattling off scripture and you didn't even know you were doing it. How great is that? It just becomes part of your language. So it increases your knowledge. It's profitable for guidance and counseling. Proverbs are really great about that. Enables you to pray more efficiently. One of my favorite things to do is to pray scripture. I mean, some people say, well, what's God's will? Well, you open up your Bible and you say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God and the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. Wow, there it is. Great are you, Lord. And also you're praying scripture. Is it God's commandment or his law or his will that I do this or that? Sometimes you look at scripture and you read it and you pray it. I will help you. I will never put you in a situation where you'd be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And if that comes, you will have a way out of it.
So all these things are really great.
So reading, meditating. The last one I want to talk about is, well, that's the last one, is meditate. We said that reading is different than studying, and basically studying is different than meditating is different than that. Meditating is when you allow the Word of God just to kind of permeate and saturate you without having to be the resource, the technical studier. One of my favorite passages is the John 14:24 passage. Ready? Here it goes. You don't even have to think. You don't even have to think of what it means. Just let it soak in. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God's peace comes in the silence. It can come in a noisy hallway. I'm at peace. That's meditating. You take time out. Your fears being lifted from you. And God replacing those fears with peace. Your worries and doubts and fears, God replacing it with peace and His strength and His guidance. You meditate on that. You do those things. Christian writer named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you may know the name, says, just as you don't analyze the words from someone that you love, accept them as they're said to you. Accept the words of Scripture. Ponder it in your heart. Meditation is one of my favorite places to be. I don't have to think too hard. But it also just reminds me of the glory of God and how awesome He truly is. James says, meditate on it. Don't be like a person who looks at the mirror and then looks away and forgets what he was doing. You will remember. And if you don't remember the exact words, you might remember, you know, I felt so calm yesterday. Or I felt so strong the day before. And you may not remember that I am your rock, I am your shield, I'm your mighty fortress. You know, you might not remember the depth of the passage, but you know that you were able to meditate on it. And if we meditate on God's word, then what happens is what flows out of us. In Galatians, it says, there are fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But if we don't put them into practice, what good are they? Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Okay, we're almost done. And I know this has been kind of like, all right, he's telling us to study God's word. But I think it's really, really an important thing. Because the more you know about how much God loves you and His Son and how much He cared for you and what He sacrificed for you, and know that the God of Holy Spirit dwells within you, how awesome is that? School year's kicking off, and so is the football season. Some of these football players, both professional and collegiate, they get these great big books. They're playbooks. They're detailed. They're complex. But you know, when they are acted out on the field, they come alive. The Bible's not that complex. It can get deep, but it's really not. When it's acted out, it becomes alive. Disciples spend their time increasing their knowledge. They want to know what's and how's and why's and who's. They want to know what areas they need to work on, to be more disciplined. One author said, you know what? I need to spend time in prayer. And you know what? He says, well, I don't have enough time. Some people say, I don't have enough time. I got 5 minutes. I can only spend 5 minutes in prayer. And they end up paying 20 minutes in prayer, and they end up getting all of their work done anyway. How does God do that? God's calling us to put more energy into memorizing Scripture, into studying God's Word. We need to be the ones that put it into practice. We need to be the ones that are doing it. And the blessing is this: God rewards you. God comes to you in His word. He fills you. You won't walk away empty. You won't walk away stressed, or you shouldn't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for the
way you fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of you, us. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless us with the motivation to open our Bibles a little bit more often, to study and to meditate and to read and all of those things, so that our walk with you may become stronger and we would know you and see you more clearly. We pray that the Word of God would speak in each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This next song is also a prayer. Word of God, speak.